And now the reading from the gospel. And that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified. And they asked each other, "Who is this? For even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Recently, our son graduated from high school. And what a roller coaster of emotions that has been. Full of memories, hopes, and dreams, and with a little bit of grief mixed in. There's been so much to celebrate, his successes, the ways in which he has grown up, the fact that we have actually made it through 18 years of parenting. However, this is also a time we can easily fall into fearful thinking. My overactive imagination as his mother kicks in real quick, and a million scenarios fill my head as he's preparing to leave our home. Will he make good choices? Will he find healthy ways to cope with pain and stress? Will he occasionally clean the toilet or ever think about taking out the trash? Will he be safe? So many questions running amok in my head sometimes keep me from falling asleep at night. But on the other hand, there's this whole other way of thinking. If I can allow myself to see the bigger picture, I become excited about his future. What will he find out there in the big wide world on his own? How will he continue to mature and become more of the man God has created him to be? What purpose and meaning will he discover as he gives of himself to this world? As we were preparing for all of the graduation festivities, I printed hundreds of photos off my phone. Now, we so rarely have actual printed photos nowadays, and I was making myself laugh as I was looking through all of them because I kept going like this, right? When we zoom in on our digital photos, you can't do that with printed photos. I wanted to zoom in, trying to only see a certain of the picture. Part of the picture up close. But all I could do was take in the whole scene, take in the whole picture. As I consider the whole scene of the disciples on the boat, on the turbulent sea of Galilee, about to sink with Jesus napping in the corner, all I keep thinking about is, why is he sleeping? If I were in the boat, I would be angry with him. It's as if he's a teenager having no idea of the seriousness of this situation and the attention that is needed. And I would have yelled at him, "What are you doing?" My kids may have heard me say that a few times. And basically, that's what the disciples did. They yelled at him and woke him up. Do you not care that we're about to die? I imagine Jesus, sleepy-eyed, yawning, realizing what was happening and then quickly getting to work. He rebuked the wind and told the sea to be still, and they obeyed him. Then there was calm, and they were fine. And he says to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" So far, these men have seen Jesus call out demons, heal a paralyzed person, speak with authority to forgive people of their sins, stand up to those in power without being harmed. But this is something new. He has the authority to speak to the very creation of God, and the winds and the seas obey him. Who is this? They wonder, still feeling fearful, by the way. They couldn't understand that the kingdom of heaven had come near. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, was sleeping in the boat with them. But still, why was he asleep? Although in that moment it felt like he didn't care, we know he cares. He cares about the disciples. He called them to follow him on his mission. We know he cares about humankind. We see his depth of compassion and his attentiveness and all of his healings. Perhaps he was just tired from all of the teaching and the miracle working. This would show the humanity of Jesus. But no matter how tired I am, I'm not going to sleep during a crisis where I think I might die. I think this is a scene where the divine nature of Jesus takes over, just for a moment. He isn't afraid, because even in the middle of a storm, Jesus can see something else. And so this creator, this powerful one, is sleeping. I imagine the nature of the divine is always able to see the broader perspective. It's easier for the divine to zoom out. What is it that Jesus can see in this moment that the disciples simply could not? From the outset of Mark's gospel, Jesus proclaims the kingdom of heaven has come near. And from then on, he embodies this mission, and his focus doesn't waver. In fulfilling the kingdom in their midst, he has work to do. He heals the outcast. He restores people's well-being. He includes those who are excluded, and he challenges those empowered to have a broader way of thinking, and they wanted to kill him for it. Many of those in power had narrowed their view of the law and of God, and Jesus knows that when our view gets narrow, our hearts get hardened. Jesus also knows that even though pain will likely be a part of his journey, the other side awaits. He knows that he has the power of God within him, and therefore, even in the midst of pain and fear, he can still see what is beautiful. He still has hope, and he knows that even though there is pain, death is not the end. This track across the sea is just a small part of the long journey. From our view as humans, we can't see very far. We are limited creatures stuck in one place with just a sliver of knowledge and experience. Our fear takes over in a flash when there is danger lurking. In fact, it's during these times that we develop tunnel vision, which is an actual physiological response our bodies have to a threat. When our emotional brain detects a threat, our pupils dilate and our vision literally narrows. We maintain our central vision but almost completely lose our peripheral vision. And while this can be a life-saving tool, in most situations, it's not beneficial to focus so much attention on one point and forget about the whole environment around us. We lose our critical thinking, and we can only react to the fear. This is where the idiom, put something into perspective, comes from. It's helpful to view something from a broader context or with a different mindset because this can give us some clarity and some understanding. When we only focus on the wind and the rain in front of us, it can start to feel hopeless fast. We somehow think if we can zoom in on fixing this one problem, we can make everything okay again. But the truth is, there's just so much that is out of our control. And maybe if we could zoom out, if we could change our perspective, we would remember it isn't all up to us alone. We remember that the divine is with us. And once again, the kingdom of heaven comes near. Something endearing about Mark's gospel is the way he portrays the disciples. They are very human. They show weakness, bewilderment. They are slow to learn the lessons Jesus is trying to teach. We can relate, clearly. We are not Jesus, but when we are facing stress and anxiety and all of the fearful circumstances that happen in our lives, can we do something to help us take in the bigger picture, to zoom out? We've heard some of these practices before, but they are worth repeating. Take time to breathe. Talk to someone who can help us have a different perspective. Imagine the future. What will this situation mean in my life in a week, in a month, in 5 years? Often, taking a look back at the experiences in our lives helps us to change our perspective. We can ask ourselves, when facing a struggle, when have I experienced something like this before? And how was God faithful then? As Christ followers, we hope to make a difference in the world, but we are often too stuck in our momentary struggles to take in the joy of the ways that Christ has already acted through us. Pastor Ryan and I were speaking with a friend recently about Broadway's history toward becoming an inclusive and welcoming church to those in the LGBTQ+ community. It is interesting to look back over the last 3 decades and more and see how many people and how much was involved for this process to unfold. So many brave people were able to see the bigger picture of God's dream of inclusion for all people. So many visionaries, many of you, were able to face the struggles that came with zooming out in order to zoom in on those who had nowhere else to go to be included in a church family. We talked about our youth and what they experienced growing up in our church, and this friend made a comment that floored me. He said, "The children and youth who grow up in a church like Broadway might be the first generation of people where they have never been taught at church that being gay is wrong." I was overwhelmed with gratitude when he said that. Gratitude that people along the way were able to see something else. Not too long ago, Reverend Nathan Russell visited with some of our youth parents about his journey through his life and ministry as a gay man. He was encouraging us as a church, and he was encouraging us as parents, And he said, "You are saving lives." I must admit that when he said that, I wondered if that was true. Maybe it was a bit dramatic. But the more I thought about it, the more I was reminded that we have no idea the impact of our church's ministry on children, youth, and adults who grow up here or who find refuge here. Many of the rewards of our ministry we may not ever know this side of heaven. There are costs, of course, and consequences, and the fearful circumstances that will always happen in our lives. Jesus never says, "There is nothing to be afraid of." But very often in the gospel, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid." There is a difference. Had Jesus not stopped the storm, the disciples very well could have died. There is plenty to be afraid of. Illness, violence, rejection, failure, the current state of our country, and on. What are you feeling afraid of? What is causing you to have tunnel vision, understandably so? But the beauty of this text is that it challenges us to turn once again to the one who is more powerful than all the storms. Jesus is mighty. God is the creator, and their powerful spirit never leaves us. In fact, Jesus promises that this divine spirit is within us. Could it be that we need to wake up the Jesus within ourselves? We could yell like the disciples did, "Wake up, Jesus! We are ready to see what you see. What can you show us out in the big wide world as we walk with you? We want to continue to mature and become more of the people you've called us to be. Change our tunnel vision, broaden our focus so we can discover your purpose for us as we give ourselves to your world." And when the storms come, may we trust you, and therefore we could have some rest and peace. As I reflect on our 18-year-old graduate, I think back to the days when he was little. Often at bedtime, I would softly sing these words to him: "Sleep, my child, and peace attend thee all through the night. Guardian angels God will send thee all through the night. Soft the drowsy hours are creeping, hill and dale in slumber sleeping, I my loving vigil keeping all through the night." In that moment, I had no idea what the future held. The storms we would encounter with our child as he grew up, the mistakes I would make, the fears I had about his future. But I wasn't thinking about any of those things in that moment. In those quiet moments between awake and asleep, all I could see was the divine love around us, the divine love that is given to all of us as a gift. This is the whole picture. Thanks be to God.